Well, here we go. Today you get two for the price of one. Paul recently completed 5 years of master's study, and he had now achieved his master's degree in master's of religion. Nice job. Way to go. I'm sure that 5 years felt like just a couple of months. But he studied hard. Worked hard at that, and he completed that degree. Next step for him, I think, is getting ready for ordination and becoming a pastor here at Faith, and the ordination council will be here, and so we look forward to all that stuff and really being able to grill him for hours. So, yeah. But I was talking to Paul as he was wrapping up school and saying, so what is it that you're studying that you really can apply and bring to Faith and bring to church, and how does it make a difference, and where is it growing for you? And he talked about leadership, and so he started talking about doing this sermon together as a way of just coming off of his studies and thinking about where we are in the church, and decided to just have this conversation with the church about leadership. And so, Paul, you've been studying it, so you get to kick off.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Pastor Bob. So leadership. Aside from a passion in worship ministries, some of you may not know I have a passion for leadership, studying leadership, because I think it's a valuable thing for not just people in ministry, but for everybody. And so this past year I studied, specifically did 4 classes on leadership, and that was the focus of my study for the past year. And in that time, I interviewed Pastor Bob and Julianne Port, and Julianne's got her head down. She doesn't want me to look at her, but and it was good because I interviewed them separately, and I defined leadership. I redefined it because when I first said leadership was influence, and that if you know John Maxwell, that's what it is. Leadership is influence, but I came up with something a little bit different on my personal definition of leadership, and here it is. Biblical leadership is having godly influence while serving and shepherding those whom God has placed in your care. Again, I'll read it one more time. Biblical leadership is having godly influence while serving and shepherding those whom God has placed in your care. There's 2 words that we're going to focus on today. I'll focus on shepherding. Pastor Bob will focus on serving. The shepherd leader and the servant leader. We saw some of that this past week with VBS. People like Karen who gave a whole week to lead VBS. And also in smaller groups. I watched my wife and Flory as they led the little ones. All right, and they had, I don't know, something like 15, 20 little ones running around. They were leading them. And so all through the whole ages. And Praise in the Park as well. Some people think, I do that alone. I don't. I've got a team of people, a team of leaders that help. I could never do it alone. And so people like Tyler and Tara and the whole band and everything, they put so much work and effort into it to lead people in worship. And so this concept of shepherd leadership comes out in Psalm 23. Was one thing that I studied. The shepherd leader, the Lord is our example of leaders, of leadership. God is the shepherd leader to the Israelites. And that's the context. Because the Israelites would have known what a shepherd was. Because it was a common occupation in that culture and in that day. And so the psalmist starts off, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. We've heard this so many times, this particular psalm. Barnes wrote, the idea which the language suggests is that of tender care, protection, and particular attention. And I'm going to focus in on some of those things and draw that out of the text today. Tender care and provision. He leads me beside still waters in verse 1 and 2. And I think about my dad in that time. He, in a world where people go and they work for a company for 10 years, that wasn't him. He went for 35 years and worked for one company, worked his way up, and he was an engineer there. And I think of him because that was a leadership quality that he displayed for me, provision, because in the last 10 years, it was awful for him. He had bosses that were just terrible, and he stuck it out. In that last 10 years, my brother and I went through college, so he paid and blessed us that way to get his kids through college and sacrificed through many difficult years for him. Another thing that a shepherd leader does is he directs. In verse 3, it says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And and when I think about the shepherd and him directing, I think about the staff. And it's probably, I don't know, 8-10 feet tall. And it's an extension of the shepherd's arm. And what he's doing is he's leading these sheep around. You know, if you think about the Middle East, it's just, you know, you have a lot of topography, all right, and mountains and things like that. And so it's not just a flat land, all right, but there's many, many places where that shepherd would need to lead that sheep around certain cliffs or tight turns. And so he would need a staff to do that. Protection. I think of the shepherd as protecting the sheep. The shepherds in the Middle East are different from all the other shepherds in the world, because all the other shepherds in the world, they follow from behind. But the only difference is the shepherd in the Middle East is in front, okay, and the sheep are following him. And so in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And so that means that the shepherd is going out in front, and he's looking, he's surveying the land, he's understanding that maybe the direction is a dangerous one. And so maybe he should lead his sheep in a different direction. Maybe it's an animal or something like that could harm them. And so he's always looking to protect. He's always looking to make sure that none are lost. That's the leader. And then the last thing is he gives particular attention. And again in verse 4, it says he is with them. The shepherd has concern for the sheep and their well-being. And I think of a story that Martin Luther King Jr., the civil rights activist, when he was in the thick of things and there were many threats on his life, he received a threat from somebody that was a threat against him, his wife, and his family. And he was in such distress in his kitchen, he cried out to God and he says, "God, I've followed and I've preached your word all of my life, and my father has preached his word, preached your word all of his life, and I've never heard the voice of God, you calling me." And in that moment, he was alone, and the Lord called him, and he said, and these are the words that God used. He said, "Never alone, Martin. Never alone. I will never leave you alone, Martin." See, God was with Martin Luther King Jr. in those days. And it's amazing that the shepherd leader is always with his sheep. He never leaves them. So I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful that God never leaves us, and I'm thankful that we can draw on his example today of a shepherd leader. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Bob, and he's going to talk a little bit about the servant leader today.
Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome.
When we think of the shepherd that Paul has talked about here and brought up, we think of that culture way back then. How many of you are shepherds for your job today? It's kind of hard to, you know, think about that in the sense we don't see. How many sheep do you see when you drive to church this morning? Not too many, right? Unless they're on your plate at night, you know, you don't see very many sheep around here. This idea of shepherd leadership comes out of the context of their culture and is this great picture of God leading his people. And as we think about it and want to bring it forward, I want to bring it to the life of Jesus Christ as he showed us what that meant. When he came, he was a strong leader. Do you remember the times that Jesus turned the tables over in the temple courts, right? It wasn't just, you know, I don't think you ought to be doing that. You might want to rethink selling those things in the temple. He came in and tore it up because it was the right thing to do at that point. He was a strong leader, but at the same time, he was a servant leader. He said he came not to be served, but to serve. We want to take the model that God gives us in this shepherd view of Psalm 23 and take those actions of caring, direction, protection, and attention and bring them forward into our lives. What does that mean for us in our lives today to do that? To have an influence that helps people know God, become more like him, and actually then go out and introduce others to him through their own lives. That process, who does that involve? That involves each one of us. The people of God, that is the people that God has placed in our lives. You know, we've talked about, Paul, right, the circle of influence. And who does that involve, right? This idea that we have a circle of influence. And when we were getting ready to do this, we talked about applying this leadership, not just to ministries of the church, but in every area of our lives. We talked about a lot of different areas of our lives. So when you think about the circle around you of the different kinds of people in your life, what are they? What kind of different folks do you have in your life? So categories of people. This is the interaction part. What was that? Family. Co-workers, pickleball players, any others? Church family, you got neighbors, clients, friends, school, all these people, God has actually placed them in your circle of influence, the circle of your care, where you have the opportunity to actually be, what Paul said, a shepherd. To lead as a shepherd. To take on a leadership role. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for somebody in charge of a ministry. It's not just for that person up front. It's for each one of us in our lives to lead as a servant. Matthew 20, 26 to 28, it says this. It's when the two brothers were asked, you know, their mom asked, can you put one on the right and one on the left of you when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus asked, well, do you know what that means? Can you drink the cup that I'm going to have to drink? And they say, oh, yes, we can do that. Little did they realize what it really meant, because Jesus turns that where they think, oh, I'm going to have to stand up and, you know, do battle or whatever it is, be a leader. And he turned that picture around on them. And he said this, if I can find it here, 26, 25, it says, but Jesus called to them all and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. He said, they lord it over these guys. You know, they say, I'm the one in authority, you know, and stomp on them and put them down and say, you need to obey me. And he said, not so for you. He said, if you really want to be great, you need to what? Be a servant. If you want to be first, if you want to be that leader, if you want to be out there, he says, you need to be their slave. This whole idea of servant leadership that he brings in, of where he calls them to not do what the culture around them does, but to actually take on the nature of Jesus Christ and be a servant like he has. He says there that Jesus is our example, that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life. To give his life. You think of the people that we listed in that circle of influence. And Jesus calls us to lead with the gifts he's given us, the abilities he's given us, the personality that he's given us, to lead with that in the lives of those people by being their servant, by serving them, by caring about them, like it said in Psalm 23, where we make a place for them where they feel cared about. So that it's different from the culture, where they know the love of Jesus Christ because they've rubbed shoulders with our lives. Where we come along and see them and give direction of, do you know what it means to know Jesus Christ? To know the salvation from sin in your life and give direction and protection and attention to say, there's a promise. How can we build toward that in our lives? Paul, one other verse this morning as we wrap up, Colossians 1, 25. It's a great verse. It says, 24 and 25, it says this, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church." He said, where Christ left off, he gave himself on the cross for the church. He said, I've picked that up, and now I serve the church in whatever affliction, whatever suffering it takes, because I am a slave, a servant of the church. So this is Paul's now example for us, where he says, I am a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. Or the NIV says, to present to you the word of God in its fullness. What is that fullness? Think of that. All that Jesus Christ did in his life, how he lived for us, and to that others might know that, it means we live our lives before them, as serving them as Christ serves the church. To be servants for the Most High God. That's what it means to lead for us in our circles of influence. It's not a matter of finding that position in at the head of the company or the head of the church ministry. It is saying, right where I am, where God has placed me, how do I then take that model of a shepherd and turn it on with the heart of God being a servant and put those actions to work in my life? He's called us to care, to direct, to protect, to give attention and build the church, to build people, to serve them, not by our strength, but by his. Not because we are so great, but because we recognize that Jesus served us and we will serve others, just like he did, as a shepherd, serving so that they might know him. When we live it this way, it will stand out completely different from the culture around us and truly have a godly influence on those around us. Paul, you've gotten to see this in your life. Why don't you come up and wrap us up?
There's a song that came to mind. Of course, there's always a song in my head, but song by Nicole Nordeman. It's a legacy, it's called. I'll just read the chorus lyrics. I want to leave a legacy. How will they remember me? Did I choose to love? Did I point to you enough? To make a mark on things, I want to leave an offering. A child of mercy and grace who blessed your name unapologetically and leave that kind of legacy. And I think of somebody who pointed to Christ and left a godly legacy. I think of my wife's grandfather, Grandpa Al Boyce, who grew up in a small town, died in a small town, and influenced everybody in that town and his family as well. He said he had a circle of influence that was much more far-reaching than what he thought, because all of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren are following the Lord right now. And it's just an amazing example, and I got a chance to be a part of his life and a part of his funeral. And I sang a song. I think I was a teenager, barely got through it. But everybody was coming up and saying what an influential man this was, and how God, how he touched them in some way. And they were all believers. It was just incredible to see somebody who just followed the Lord so much, and because of that led others and pointed others to Jesus. It wasn't about him. It was about pointing people to Christ. And so may that be a mark of our lives. May we leave a legacy that is worthy of the calling today. Let's pray today. Dear Jesus, we come before you. Pray, God, that you'd use us, Lord, to point people to Jesus, Lord. You'd use us, Lord, to just whatever it is, Lord, that you need, Lord, today. You need us to be your hands and feet, Lord, today. You need us to lead others to Christ today. Pray, Lord, that today that you'd help us, Lord, to just be tools for the Master's use, Lord. God, whether it be shepherding one or many, serving one or many, we know that in the gospel it says that you serve 12. And you washed their feet as an act of worship. But you humbled yourself. You loved them, Lord. And they went on to start a movement. And they went on to die for you, Lord. Because they were so convicted and they knew what was true and what was right. And I pray even 2,000 years later, Lord, that we would do the same, Lord, that we would serve you, Lord, and we would lead others to you, Lord. I'm thankful for that. Thank you for our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Great Savior.